What's up, guys? Good morning and welcome to the Bowling Frog Podcast. Josh, how we doing, my man?
I'm doing good, Tanner. How have you been since your hiatus of NFL extravaganzas?
More NFL extravaganzas today, my friend.
Is
it? Panthers. 1 o'clock.
They're not tuning too good, are they?
Not really. They started out strong. 3-0, and then they went, lost three. So 3-3. They play the Giants, but there's no such thing as a guarantee, except for death and taxes, Josh.
What about Eli Manning? Is he still out there throwing the old pigskin around, or is he retired?
Yeah, Eli's out there, baby.
Is he?
Yeah, he's out there. Hell yeah. Yeah, Tiki Barber's still running back.
Oh, yeah. Lawrence Taylor.
Oh, yeah, damn right, son. Lawrence Taylor, he's 57 years old, but averages 4 sacks a game.
Oh, shit. Does Manning still really play? He doesn't really play anymore, does he?
No, man.
No, he's retired?
Yeah. Yeah, they actually retired his number earlier this year. And then I think yesterday, I'm not a college football guy at all, just the NFL, but I think Ole Miss retired his college jersey yesterday.
Yeah, until I check his emails and bring all that shit down.
Oh, shit, man. What a bunch of D-bags, man. Like, you can't say that shit, John Gruden. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't condone any of that garbage, but it's so weird that they just singled him out. There's obviously some narrative or agenda that somebody's trying to push, man, behind the scenes. It's
weird, yeah. I mean, it's weird. You don't want people, but you do want people to be able to express themselves, even if it's wrong, right? It's like, I'd like to see the emails, like to read them to see what they're talking about.
I know, right?
But,
well, I think that they would incriminate so many different people, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, it's just a friendly reminder that there's rich and then there's wealthy. Yeah. So, John Gruden is rich, Dan Snyder for the Redskins is wealthy.
Right.
So you don't see his name in this because it's only going to go so far when you got that kind of money.
Yeah. No, it's interesting to see what's happening. But it's weird. I mean, obviously, I don't think anybody should get in trouble for something they said a decade plus ago. Because I'm trying to think about who I was when I was a decade ago. Probably pretty similar to now. But, I mean, I'm sure I did or said some shit that I would be embarrassed of or would, get in trouble for now or even go back 20 years. So it's weird to think what's the statute of limitations on things. If you go back and look at old comedy bits, even like with Eddie Murphy or Richard Pryor, these guys, that stuff would never, even like old, something like Chappelle stuff, that stuff would never go today,
No.
Sitcom stuff back in the day wouldn't fly today, like All in the Family or Sanford and Sons. So it's just weird. How far back can you reach to sort of penalize somebody today because the standards have changed? And because I don't know if 10 to 12 years ago, if those emails came out, if he might have got something, but I don't think he would have got this. I don't think he would have been fired, his name taken down from the Tampa Stadium, these kind of things.
But, yeah. Well, I'm like you. I mean, I said and did some pretty dumb stuff, 10, 15, 20 years ago. I guess the one way to look at it that a lot of people are, I'm not saying it makes it right or wrong, but Gruden is older. He has been coaching for quite some time or has been involved in some level of coaching. So I think when you make that your life's work, and I get what you're saying. I don't disagree. I just think when you're Gruden in this sense, and you said it, back in 2014, I believe is when it was, or 2000, somewhere around there. It's kind of like, well, can't say that not only now, but especially not then. It'd be one thing if they dug something back from 1976 when he was like 18 years old or something.
Yeah, yeah. But
still, I hear
it's
you.
It's also, it's hard to say, where does the line get drawn when it comes to private versus public emails, right? Like we see public emails like Hillary Clinton stuff that came out or Hunter Biden, the guy that the Pizzagate, John Podesta's emails came out, Hillary Clinton, even now Fauci. Like, these are public people.
Right.
So I think that their emails are under a different sort of scrutiny or different sort of application of the law because they're public in the public
eye. They're representing us.
Right. But a private email is weird, right? Because
I agree.
We know that, like, what about private text messages, right? I mean, I've said some pretty crazy shit to my wife or to my brother Jeremiah, like, you know, in an attempt to be funny, but like shockingly funny, like stuff I would never say in public.
Or show up on your front door. Yeah.
Just to make them. Like, what the fuck are you? What's wrong with you, man? You know what I mean? Just to fuck with people. But, yeah. That's not what Gruden was doing. But it's hard to judge these things out of context because you don't know the relationship he has with the person he's talking with or even talking about, right? Like, if me and you get in a squabble and I'm talking to one of our mutual friends about you, I might talk shit about you, like, more harshly than I would a stranger because we have a relationship. Right? I'm like, fuck that dude, man. You know what I mean? Or who knows? Like, take a personal dig or whatever it might be. So it's just, to me, it's just weird. And I sort of wonder what the goal is like, what's to sanitize everything, because you figure Gruden has been in the NFL for decades working with majority black players.
African-Americans, yeah.
You would think that something would be like, people be like, man, this guy's a little racist, or, you know, it's just hard to say, you know, it's a weird thing to pop up.
Yeah. I think too many times, though, it can all be one-sided. There's so many different layers and levels to racism, and it always just seems to follow the Caucasian coach or the Caucasian player or stuff like that. And other players can say things to each other, I guess terms of endearment or whatever you want to call it, or make jokes about Asians or crackers or whatever you want to say. It just seems like it's so one-sided to me, man. I don't get it.
Yeah, it's definitely a tough thing to have to tread through, I guess, especially being in the public eye.
Yeah, players and coaches are two different things. I mean, even though they're all human beings, needless to say, but I guess you're, needless to say, also held to a different standard as a coach. But it is strange, though. Like I said, the timing of it, and I don't know. I don't mind Gruden at all, actually, but I thought Derek Carr had said something because a lot of his players are like, man, it's just, you know, some were obviously disappointed, as they should be, because they're investing a lot of times in not just their body and the way that they play, but also buying into the coaching staff. So it's a professional sport. So mentally, I'm sure a lot of them are a little bit zapped. But as far as what he said, a lot of the players were kind of coming to his defense and more or less just saying, I think Derek Carr said something along the lines of like, I love the man, I hate the sin, or something like that. But anyways, a lot of the players are like, man, I don't know him to be racist. Like, it's just a comment. I'm not saying the comment was right, but it just seems like, I don't know why we had to go back and basically just dissolve someone and, you know, vaporize them into non-existence. Yeah.
Because you have to allow people to be ignorant or to be, you know, insensitive or to be, you know, not thought out or to be sort of immature, right? That's like, you have to have these things before you move on to becoming mature or having some sort of insight or to be, you know, people have to evolve from one thing to another. Nobody's like born or made or just appears in some pure form of, you know, with no flaws. So we all have flaws. We've all done things we regret. It just seems weird to go back that far and then to be gone so fast. Right. I mean, it's like, it's weird because the story's here one day, he's gone the next, and then the story's gone the day after. Right.
Yeah. Well, I think it has to do something with Dan Snyder and the Redskins and a lot of things that were going on between the Players Association. So I don't really know if we'll ever know the truth. But going back to saying stuff like that or dissolving or censorship, it's interesting because I don't know. I know a lot of people care about fixing racism and things like that, which is obviously something that we all need to do, right? But at the same time, in the world of like country music, for example, I don't know if you heard of this guy, Morgan Wallen.
No.
I'm not a big country guy at all. I actually hardly ever listen to it. He's all right, though. Like, there's a few of his songs I like. But anyway, don't know much about him. Pretty young guy. I think he was on The Voice, won The Voice. And now he's like, he said something. Like, his neighbor was taping him. He came home drunk and said, like, the N-word. And, again, shouldn't say it. But it wasn't like, hey, look at that. You know what? It was more like, all right, man. Have a good night, ma. You know what I'm saying? So and somebody taped him, and then, man, the radio canceled him, and he wasn't allowed to show up to the country awards and everything. Well, guess what now, man? I mean, he's one of the most popular country artists there is.
Yeah, that's
what he's out there selling out shows. That's what I'm saying. It's just like, I don't think a lot of people really care. Some people do, but I don't think a lot of people actually care about it. And that's why I think it hits a guy like Gruden harder, because it's a billion-dollar industry in the NFL. It's predominantly black players, and it's a dog and pony show. You got to pretend like we care.
It's all about the optics. I can't believe he did this.
Yeah. And country music. I mean, there's more black artists now than there's ever been. I think that's awesome. It's just more of those things. I think it just depends on the circle. But my point is, you don't really care about it. No one cares.
Yeah, I think you know, it boils down to the noise that we're surrounded by with social media and the media, right? I mean, I don't even think it takes any outrage for there to be outrage, right? Like if you look at Chappelle's special, like all the outrage around that, but so I think good. All this outrage is almost imaginary, right? It's all online. Yeah. It's all Twitter or Instagram or whatever, emails or Netflix employees, right? We would never have interacted this backlash in day-to-day life. I don't know really who would, right? So I think when you see these backlashes and these sort of like cries for justice around social issues regarding like celebrities.
Yeah.
I think it's mostly made up. Yeah, I think it's mostly just exists in this Twitterverse or in this because companies are scared to get sued. Like Fox cares more about 1,000 screaming idiots on Twitter or Instagram because they might lose a sponsor, right? But there's no tangible sort of winning or losing here. It's better safe than sorry, right? Like, oh, should we stand, like, give the Netflix guy some credit for standing up saying, no, this is what Dave Chappelle does. This is his art form. This is what he's trying to do. He's trying to, you know, this is his art. It should exist like any other art does, right? At least he stood up for it, where he figured if this would have been, you know, something on, not that network TV would carry a Chappelle special because of the language, right. But it would be like, oh, yeah, we're so sorry, we're taking it off. We'll never show Dave Chappelle again, you know? So at least in this case, Netflix did stand up because they realize most people like this. Most people have shared likes, right? Like people like there's a much bigger center in this country than we're led to believe, right? We're led to believe that half the country is screaming at the other half. But really, it's probably a few percent on this side screaming at everybody on this side and the same vice versa, right? But we're sort of – it's like, that's the best thing about going back to Theo Von, that his special that he said was talking about living in the black community growing up in New Orleans or in Louisiana. He's like, the black kids were like, hey man, look what you did to us. And Theo's like, what I did to you? He's like, you think I took all your shit and then moved in next door to you?
Yeah.
He's like, someone stole both of our shit and we're fighting over it. You know,
we're both fighting over our shit.
Someone stole both of our shit, but now we're fighting over it, and we don't even have it, you know. So it kind of boils down to that, I think. You know, it's weird.
Well, what's wild is, I think it's a vacuum. I think it's a very small amount of people that are actually in air quotations outraged. But the Chappelle special is fucking hilarious, by the way. But what is more unnerving to me is that I never watched it, but that show Cuties that Netflix aired with those girls that dance. Either. It's like some people are saying it's like, I don't think it's like soft porn, but some people are calling that, I guess, to prove a point, and maybe that's hyperbole as well, but no one cares about that. No one's being like – a few people, right? But they didn't cancel it.
Yeah.
But there's so many more people, the perception – and maybe there's really not that many because I'm with you. I don't think there's not that many people. But the perception is like there's so many people outraged by the Chappelle show and his bit that he did on LGBTQ, but – I don't think it's really that much, but point being, if you go back and you look at that show Cuties, no one's really caring about that at Netflix. It's like, it seems backwards to me. Comedy is an art, right?
Yeah.
And I guess any film or show that you make could be considered art. I guess having young girls myself, like Cuties, don't know much about it, just heard about it. It doesn't seem like something that should be on TV to me.
Yeah.
But no one was really outraged about that. Did you actually see the people that walked out? And they're sitting there, and the one guy like shows up. He's like, "I support Chappelle. We love Chappelle."
Oh no, I watched the special. But I didn't see the protest.
See the outrage. Yeah, the special is great, dude. But I thought the special was hilarious, and it's just like one of those things because just like remember when you were kids and you would say your parents would be like, "Hey, don't let him get you because if he knows he gets you, he's gonna keep doing it." And that's all Chappelle's doing. I don't think Chappelle's actually a homophobe or transphobic or anything like that. It's just, he's a fucking comedian and he's great at what he does. He's great at what he does. But again, I know we're talking about two different things. We're talking about transgender, gays, so on and so forth. But when you hear other comedians talk about other races, specifically black comedians, no one cares. No one's outraged. Like we need to cancel Chappelle because he even says in his special, like jokingly, he's like, if you would listen, my fight has never been with you. It's been with white people.
Yeah.
You
know
what I mean? Yeah. It's just so interesting to see what we latch on to, man, and what we are going to get behind as a society and for LGBTQ or whatever. I don't know.
Or it's like how things get interpreted, right? Everything's interpreted through this lens of looking for blame or looking for harm. It's not – because to me, like, I thought the special was pretty good. I think he's got a little bit like sort of TED Talk-y or a little bit like – it's a little bit less comedy, a little more like social commentary, but it's still pretty funny. But I think his whole point was that – like, I think what he's trying to say about the story he tells about his friend that died is that this was my friend. She was on my team because we had shared experiences. We're both comedians. We do participate in the same artwork. Like, our lives are similar. So we're on the same team. We're not – teams aren't divided by sexual orientation or this and that. So it's like you're coming at me for talking about her, but that's my friend. That's on my team.
Right.
So it's like forcing these different divisions, which is weird. You know, it's
– Yeah. Yeah, it's less punchlines and whatnot, but I thought it was a fresher take, I suppose.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it, man. I thought it was
hilarious. I think he's really good. I think it's definitely a smart guy, and he thinks about what he's going to say a lot.
Yeah, you know? I think so. And going back to Theo, I know we were talking a little bit about it. You saw his stand-up on Netflix, his new special. We went and saw him about a month or so ago. And again, that's a lot of what they do with the comedians are going to be relatively the same bit, if you will, obviously. But they change a few things in it. But yeah, man, he's great, man. But he does seem a little bit, because I think he is so good at his podcast. My wife thinks he's great. I mean, she loves Theo. She actually will listen to his podcast way more than ours, by the way.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So do I.
Fuck her. Yeah, right. No, but anyway, he seems way more comfortable because I think that's his way of doing comedy. If you even look back at Road Rules and some of the things he was on with MTV, it's just him kind of talking. And then things just seem to pop up on the fly, like little names that he makes up or little verses of comedy bits that he makes up. But yeah, I mean, the stand-up was great. Don't get me wrong, but he looked a little nervous.
Yeah, I love that guy. Just glad to see him getting like the success because I think he does. And I think he's kind of known for like being goofy, being funny, you know, hit or this, hit or that, or, you know, the way he talks, but I think but some of his podcasts are pretty impactful, right? I mean, like he has serious conversations. He talks about things. And I think that's why he's as big as he is, not just because he's funny, but because people can relate to him, right? He talks about his substance abuse issues, talks about pornography issues, relationships, stuff like this, man. I think that people can get behind it. And that's why he's as big as he is, even though he's super funny. I think it's a big sort of testament to like the kind of person that he is too, you know, because he's a good dude. He does a lot for like single moms, all this kind of stuff that kind of goes unnoticed because he doesn't like put it out there, but he's a good dude.
Yeah, I think he's a good dude. Yeah, it's kind of like John Daly of golf, right? A lot of people couldn't, if you ever liked golf at all, it's, you know, especially if you didn't, it was hard to identify. And then you see like this big fat dude that comes up and drinks beers and eats M&Ms and smokes cigarettes. And you're like, yeah, I can get behind that guy. That's kind of like Theo Vaughn. He's just pretty transparent with who he's been, where he's been, what he does, and who he hangs out with. So, which speaking of, I was talking about Morgan Wallen earlier. They both have the same haircut, so I don't know if that's why they hang out, but they seem to be pretty good friends, man.
Who is it?
Morgan Wallen, that country guy I was telling you about.
Oh, hangs out with you?
Yeah, they hang out, jiu-jitsu and shit together.
So. Oh, nice. That's cool.
Yeah, that's pretty wild,
but
man.
To go back to that that transgender thing that Chappelle got in trouble for, I've been thinking about this actually quite a bit, and I've been thinking a little bit about like when we had that podcast with Rachel, when she came on, right, talking about like sort of like the transracialism.
Right.
And the biggest thing I got from that experience of talking to her and then family members or other people that I'm friends with who are black, and sort of to me, the biggest thing was sort of almost the idea of cost of entry, or the idea of you can't relate as something that you're not because of the oppression or of the experiences that group has gone through, right? It's, you can't just claim to be black because you like the culture or whatever, because there's been oppressions and day-to-day life things that have been harder for them. So it's like you can't do it because it's just
it doesn't translate. You haven't you haven't physically walked in their shoes you haven't physically lived the things that they've had to go through, for sure.
Yep. And I think that same sort of perspective applies in this case too, because especially when it comes to women, right? Or like trans women. So being a woman to me as a guy is a foreign experience. I can't explain it, right? Like when you're like, I imagine a girl when they're growing up is a totally different feeling than a guy has, because, you know, the idea of going, getting your period when you're 12, 13 years old, whatever it is, you know, developing breasts, going through puberty, these things, when you get older, having children, like these are experiences that only people born with XX chromosomes can experience, right? Women can have these experiences. So I feel like there's that same sort of, it has to be that same sort of nuance when you're talking about gender, right? You can't, I can't just say that I'm a woman now. Well, I can say it if I want, I guess.
But, say whatever you want, but.
But I think that to be criticized, it's only fair because you can't, nobody can truly know what it's like to walk in anybody else's shoes, right? I don't know if my experience is a typical male experience. I have no idea, right? I'm going to compare it to myself. But this idea that classes or groups of people become sort of untouchable or uncriticizable, it's not fair, right? And I think we see it go too far when we see things like trans women fighting against biological women in UFC, or not UFC, but like in MMA, mixed martial arts, or in weightlifting. You see these things, then I think it's like this whole, the whole idea of like we're getting so progressive that it's just sort of not making sense, or it's not benefiting anybody, right? So
yeah,
and but I think it boils down to that. I don't think it's just because you want to, if you're attracted or there's like a sexual preference that you have, or like whatever sort of thing you're into, that doesn't translate into you actually being a woman, right?
No, not genetically.
Right. Or like even trying to identify with that experience, right? I mean, like, you know, my wife's like giving birth to children, right? It's a different thing.
Yeah.
So how can you just like grab onto it, you know, and then act like there's no room for discussion?
No, because you can't just, like you said, you can't identify. We don't know what they're going through, or this person or that person, or that doesn't really matter, right? But
yeah,
and like we always say, you do you, man. I don't really care. It's all good. But there are certain things that you shouldn't be criticized, or in Chappelle's case, obviously he's on a pedestal and he has one, but you shouldn't try to dissolve the guy, as I say often, or, you know, just completely, you know, just diminish them from society in general just because they're questioning with comedy. Or if somebody just wants to question, like you and I, just two regular guys, about whatever, Caitlyn Jenner or this person or that person, I think it's fair just to say, because we haven't walked in those shoes. It's not to say we oppose it. It's just like, you shouldn't be exempt from people asking you, or you shouldn't be exempt from comedians. And it just seems more predominant these days. I mean, I don't know if it's just, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, you didn't really have, obviously you had transgender people and things like that for quite some time, but it, like 20 years ago, you never really heard about this.
Yeah.
That much. Way more, I guess, taboo in a way, but, and I know times have changed a lot, and that's not a bad thing, but also it's just like, I don't know, man. It's just like, I wonder certain people, I know this is probably like a shitty statement, but I just think it needs to be asked. Like, I wonder if as many people, whether you're a guy and you identify as a woman, or you're a woman and you identify as a man, I don't know. It just seems like, I don't know that they really feel that way, or if it's more of a feeling to belong with something. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure some people feel like it, but it just seems like there's more and more and more and more. So I don't know if it's just like there have been other people out there that have given them a voice, so they feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
I'm sure that's partly it. Yeah. And it's seen better. Like it's part of culture too. Yeah. It's like part of progress. I mean, there's been books written about it. A couple of Rogan's guests have been on there talking about like sort of like the relationship between social media and how that's affecting like this sort of mass emergence of girls in middle school and high school sort of identifying as transgender now because of, you know, social pressures, or it's something that's introduced a lot younger too, right? It's like, how do you feel? Do you feel like a boy? Do you feel like a girl? You know, so it's like, or don't gender your baby, or these sort of ideas sort of just creep into society and they become more saturated. But I think what's funny, or not funny, but what's interesting is that, like I say all the time, progress never stops, right? So, you know, it's like in the 60s, everyone was fighting for, you know, for equal rights for black people, for women to vote, these things. Those come along, you know, are able to take care of that, then it's, you know, obviously that's a great thing, right? So some progress is really good. Then it's gay rights. Gay wants the right, gay people want the right to get married, to have the same rights that straight people have. That's a good thing too, right? But there's always going to be another benchmark after that's accomplished, whether it's like actual progress or it's just like some sort of placeholder idea that we need to do something so we can keep progressing, right? Yeah. So we've already got to the point where there's unlimited sort of gender identities that are possible. So like what's going to be next? Something's going to be next, right?
Yeah. It's a finite amount of possibilities. I mean, something's going to be next, but what's frustrating, I don't know if you share the same sentiment, and if not, it's all good, but I don't know why somebody, like I said, I need to preface it by saying, I really don't care. I don't, it doesn't bother me. It's just not something that, I don't want to say it's not normal or whatever. It's just something that I don't really understand. Mm-hmm. But when you say that, just like a more rudimentary example, the guy that came opposite of all the LGBTQ employees at Netflix supporting Chappelle, it's like, you're the bad guy. Yeah. You were the bad guy, but that same community can do things towards us that they don't understand why we're privileged, or they don't understand why, you know, white people look down on this, or black people look down on this, or Asian people look down on that, or whatever it may be. It's just, it's like you can't even, when you question something, and it's not so much to say, hey man, I don't support that. They're a bunch of, you know, fill in the blank. That's not me. You know that.
Right.
But if you question it at all, like, I don't know why they'd want to do that. That doesn't make sense to me. Then it's like, that fucking guy's transphobic. It's like, no. Like, I'm trying to understand where you're coming from is all.
Yeah, it's definitely. It
doesn't work both ways. It's just one-sided, man.
Yeah, you have to accept everything without question.
Exactly.
Or you're not, or you're, you know, you're part of this, your silence is violence, you know, like, so. Which is too bad, because people need the opportunity to. You know, sometimes I feel like I'm like the old guy, the old curmudgeon guy, like, I don't want any sort of, I want life to go back the way it was, you know, but I feel like you have to give people time to think about stuff, to talk about things, and you can't just sort of put rules on people and then hold them accountable for something they don't even understand, you know, and it seems unfair to say the least, but I don't think there was I don't know if you saw the YouTube, there's some guy uploaded a thing on YouTube where he was driving through like a Sonic. And he was a transgender. Oh, yeah, yeah. And and I guess
he's like, sir, they keep calling me sir.
Right.
He's like, what about me looks like a sir?
Right.
And the guy was like, I mean, he played it off as best he could.
But he's like, I'm sorry for any sort of inconvenience, right, or, you know, we weren't trying to be rude type thing. But it's like, there's definitely like, there's some currency or some clout to be gained by exposing these injustices. Right. It's like to become to be a transgender, I always get these mixed up, but to be a transgender male or female, sorry, so you know, you transition to being a female, right, and then getting like sort of like misconstrued or misunderstood who you are, there's like clout in calling that out, or like there's some sort of like that's a trap, they're setting traps, you know, they're looking for that, right? It's like,
yeah,
because if you're just a person, I've been called man before, not because I look like a girl, people just say the wrong thing sometimes. Yeah. You know what I mean? So but it's like,
I'm not going to be like, what about me looks like a chick? You know what I'm saying?
It's like I'm not going to blow up. Just like setting these little traps and then proving something in your own mind by exposing these like types of injustice, right? It's like 30-year-old Hispanic kid doesn't even –
at a Sonic.
Yeah.
They're making $10 an hour. Like,
they give no fucks. Like, nobody cares.
No one cares.
You know? But it's like
– he handled it so much better than I could have handled it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the point is they're videoing it. That's the bait. They're getting you to take the bait. And the guy was smart enough to video it back because it might have cost him his job, right, if he didn't.
Right.
But it's just like, who are you in a drive-thru? If you're offended, that sucks. But, like, just shake it off. Like, no one was doing it egregiously. I didn't see the person. But you probably look like a dude. That's probably why they were saying, sir. You know? But I don't know. It's just – it's such a weird thing because you almost – I find myself being cautious. Like, we went to Topgolf a couple weekends ago. And those, I'm not saying it to be rude. I'm just being honest with you. What I'm pretty sure was a guy, but the way his or her hairstyle, or however you want to say it, was, I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, I'm just gonna play it safe on this one. But normally I'd say, hey man, thanks, or appreciate you, buddy, or hey man, hey sir, you know. But I was just like, hey, and I was like, oh fuck, I don't even know, you know. Like, I was just like, so all the common courtesies with any type of pronoun you want to use or whatever just goes out the window. It's pretty wild, man.
Yeah,
it's pretty wild. But I understand. Like here's my big thing is, like, Chappelle's not out there shouting it. The guy that came and supported Chappelle's not out there like, all you queers out here, fuck y'all. You know, like, no one's saying that.
Right.
No one's saying that. It's just trying to shed light, trying to understand the Chappelle's aspect, trying to make people laugh about it.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know. It's so one-sided. Or the guy that you said that was videotaping at Sonic. Yeah. It's just like you're baiting somebody into something. You're trying to get them to say something about you. It's almost like that goes back to my previous statement. I'm not saying there's people out there that don't feel like men or don't feel like women, but it's like this inclusion that they're longing for. And I don't think it's as genuine with some trans people as it is others. I think it's just somewhere to identify with or somewhere to, who knows? But hey, did you see on a side note, it was in Virginia high school, you know, some of the HB2 laws, which North Carolina was one of the last ones to pass it, by the way, but where you just use whatever bathroom that you identify with, right? Not how you were born, not where your gender in terms of what was on your birth certificate, but however you feel, right?
Yeah.
So this high school in Virginia, there was a guy that was going to the girls' restrooms, dressed as a girl or whatever, ended up raping this girl, right?
Oh, jeez.
Well, the most unnerving thing about it was people are going to be like, oh, that's so few and far between. Well, yeah, I mean, it's people will do that and people have done it and people will continue to do it, but the whole thing that was the most unnerving about it is they made the dad was irate, man. He went apeshit, as he should have, because it was true. And it later came out that it was true, but they were basically kind of making fun of him, just saying, nah, man, you're just transphobic. You're homophobic. This never happened. And they were literally trying to just silence the situation because of what the school board supports over some poor girl that got raped. And it later came out that it was true.
Yeah.
And this kid went to another school doing the same thing. Wow. And it was just like, man, but it wasn't so much like, well, we need to basically rethink on the bathroom law. It's more just like, hey, just don't say anything. It's not true. Wink, wink, nod, nod. Like, we got a bigger narrative to push here, which is all inclusive. It's like, man, fuck y'all.
Well, that's the way it goes. It's like, so with the confirmation biases, anything that supports your ideas, you're going to maximize, or anything that hurts them, you're going to minimize, right? It's like, and you're much more likely to believe something. Like if you and I are friends, if someone says something and I like you and someone says something nice about you, I'm like, yeah, that's right. Tanner's awesome. Right. But if you and I are friends and someone says something bad about you, I'm like, I don't know, man, Tanner's pretty cool. Like, so like you'll dismiss a negative thing because you have a positive feeling towards something or vice versa. Right. If I hate you and someone says, oh, that guy Tanner's really cool. I'm like, nah, man, he's not cool. So you sort of decide what you want to let in and not. So, and it's human nature, but it's just at some point you sort of
it's on hyperdrive lately.
Yeah, you sort of just it's seen as normal, right? So you can just eliminate any sort of like negative evidences against your beliefs and just say that they're not true or they're. It's weird about the whole idea of like, oh, that's anecdotal, right? So you can have this whole set of data that you claim to be true, and any evidence against that opinion or data is seen as anecdotal. That's a one off. That doesn't matter. It's so rare that it doesn't matter, right? But if there's anecdotes that support your evidence, you just use that as supporting evidence. You don't say that this is rare or this is anecdotal, right? It's like, it's just a way of minimizing something, right? So like if the overarching idea for whatever reason is that everyone should share the same bathroom or be able to choose your own bathroom, then any evidence that goes against that claim is going to just be minimized, you know? Yeah. Which is too bad when it involves a girl getting raped in high school, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And then just being swept under the rug.
Do that. I mean, if there's any sort of deviant or any sort of like sexual predator, they're going to find situations to be in, right? So if you want to molest boys, chances are you might, you know, you're going to go where young boys are, right? You might start teaching sports. You might start go to the Catholic church. You might go to the Catholic church, right? It's not because that's what one thing that's hard to think of or for me to wrap my head around. For a long time, I would think to myself, like, is the Catholic Church, like, this is part of their belief system, or is this what's going on? But probably what happened is, this could be wrong, but I think probably what happened is you have a group of men who have thoughts that they don't want, that goes against their religion, right? So they take vows of celibacy, they do these things, but they're not able to sort of
pray away the gay.
Right. So then they put themselves in situations where they can, but it doesn't work. And then they manifest in other negative things. But like Jerry Sandusky, right?
Yeah, giant pedophile.
So he, he goes to teach kids school. That gymnast doctor, right? He's probably likes young girls. So he, he's doctors of the gymnastic team. So they're difficult because if people have these inclinations, you're probably not going to stop this behavior. I wouldn't imagine that if this guy couldn't go to a women's bathroom, he would never rape somebody. I feel like he probably
would do it anyway. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, it's kind of the take away the guns argument. It's like, take away the guns. It's like, no. I mean, people are still going to find guns and people are still going to find a way to be crazy.
Right.
The only thing I would say is with the bathroom thing is, I don't know, man. I mean, like if you identify as a bird, who gives a shit? Just have like this bathroom over here that's one unisex bathroom, kind of like a family bathroom. That's what I think. I mean, just don't make it easier.
That'll just be viewed as,
segregation.
Yeah, or minimizing inclusive. Yeah, right.
It's just, I don't know where it ends, man. But I don't know where it ends. But anyway, what do you guys got going on?
Not to change topics too much, but we look at things like this and we always sort of try to attribute them to like ideas or like, why is society thinking this way now, right? But we never think about like environmental factors, right? I was listening to this podcast and I was talking so much about like just like the poisoning of our environment, like the use of like petroleum-based chemicals for like pesticides, herbicides, in our food, all these different things that are in our physical environment now that are changing the way people act. And this could be a total leap, right? But so this is off topic. Maybe I'll cut it out. We'll see. But when you look at species and you start measuring the difference between male and female, or however you want to say it, biological males versus biological females, you see a difference in the taint, right? So the space between the genitals and the anus. Typically, the female will have half the size of a taint of a male, right? So, for instance, a male will have 2 inches, a female will have 1 inch, right? And that's a major indicator of how you tell sex. That's how you do it in animals, or like you're going to look at a cat or a dog, you can say, oh, okay, you measure the taint. And that's a huge indicator for if it's a male or a female. And biological environmental factors have been changing that in human beings, right? The human, it used to be double size, and that's shrinking. In generations coming up, they're much closer together, right? So you have to ask yourself what's happening, right? Is it human evolution? You wouldn't think it would happen in that short of a time in decades.
But hundreds of years if that.
But people don't ever want to look. That's the thing. When you start having these ideas that are sacred and you don't ever want to like say anything negative about it, you don't want to say anything negative about the sort of gender dysphoria or like the confusion around gender in our country, we just want to always explain it to, well, that's ignorant and this is forward thinking, this is progress, but we don't ever want to like actually look at what's causing it. Like what if that is what's causing it? What if people are confused about their gender more and more and more because of toxins in our diet, because of who knows what else environmental factors could be there. But you could, like, if I said that to a group of trans people, they would be like,
They're murdering. Yeah. They would slap you to death with pillows.
Yeah, you have these like protected classes you can't criticize. It doesn't benefit anybody, you know?
Yeah, that'd be a big pillow fight. Now, you might be onto something because we talked often about just people don't really care about, like the American government doesn't really care about us when they keep McDonald's open and Burger King, right? As we talk about often, just with all these foods that have all kinds of processed foods and additives and all kinds of shit. But going back to your point, you think about your great grandparents and your grandparents, and again, things happen. People died from natural causes, and cancer was the thing, but it wasn't as predominant, right? Because you're eating from the earth, you're eating the cattle that roam the land, or whatever it may be, right? The pigs. So you're eating natural foods in most cases, and even some of your sweets or berries or whatever are grown or harvested by communities or somewhere within that area that you live. And now everything's just convenient, and putting foods out there that can last for like weeks, if not months in some cases, even if you open it, it's not right. I mean, I love chicken wings. And if you go to some of these places, man, these chicken wings look like fucking drumsticks from KFC with steroids in them and everything else. So I don't know. Maybe there is, because you do see, I think it's a twofold thing. Meaning, like we said earlier, I think that naturally, if no matter what it is, right, if you're too scared to speak up about something, no matter what that something is, somebody kind of blazes the path for you. They're a trailblazer. Then you can come in and feel a little bit more, you know, open-minded, and it's a lot easier for you to say whatever your stance is, regardless of what that stance may be. And I think the same could be said for some of the things that's going on with the foods and whatnot. I mean, everything that you're seeing in it. I don't know. I mean, maybe bring up a good point. Maybe it could just be one of those things where other things are happening, so it makes you it's partly because people have a voice, it makes you have a voice a little bit easier, but some of it could be that, because you don't see as many people back then as you do now that are identifying as this, that, or the other, have, you know, not just one or two or three or four or five groups, but there's a finite amount of terms and things like that that revolve around gender and identity, more so in the past year than we've ever seen, the past couple years for sure, right?
So. Yeah. And I think it's just weird that we don't want to talk about it. We just want to accept everything as a positive thing. Everything's a good thing. But what if it is? Because even it's not only like McDonald's stuff, but even like healthy foods, even like vegetables or whatever, they're all processed, right? Like Monsanto, yeah. Like they generate these seeds that can resist these herbicides. They can resist these pesticides, right? So even the fruit we get's not necessarily, it's not, I'm saying it's bad for you necessarily, but it's not as healthy for you as like some sort of naturally growing fruit. And these, if everything that we're consuming basically is processed, has chemicals in it, some sort of petroleum products been used along the way, it's going to affect humans negatively if you compare it to a diet of raw natural foods, right?
Right.
So we have to ask ourselves, what are the negative outcomes of that, right? Could they be? Who knows what they could be? But we have to be able to talk about it.
Hey, you might be onto something. Who knows, man? I mean, anything's possible these days. Going back to not along the lines of food, but shifting gears a little bit towards some of the numbers that you see coming out lately with the vaccine. I don't know if you've kind of been keeping up with some of the studies like in the United Kingdom or Israel or whatnot, but you go back to the original message when Trump was still in office, you know, Operation Warp Speed, we got to get this vaccine out. We got to just completely eradicate COVID. So you got Fauci sitting beside him, sitting there saying that the vaccines at first, right, it was masks are the way to go, mask up, the more masks, the better. And then you got the vaccine and we're being told like this vaccine's going to take care of COVID. It's going to be really good. And now you're seeing that the vaccine actually, needless to say, it doesn't cure COVID. There's no cure for it, right? It hasn't eradicated it like the actual true vaccines of measles, polio, et cetera. This is a synthetic protein. So not only does it, needless to say, not cure it, it also doesn't prevent you from getting it or spreading it. Then it was just, let's trickle down. Okay, that's true. So, well, it just keeps you from getting as sick as you were, you know, before, should you not have the vaccine. Now it's like, well, not really. It just keeps you from dying. So it just keeps going down, down, and down. Well, a lot of the studies have shown over 70% of the people in Israel and the higher percentage of people that are testing positive and or in the hospital have the vaccine. So what does that tell you about the vaccine? Is it's not as effective, not even close, as we originally anticipated. So what do you see now? You see all these boosters coming out. And these boosters are designed to spike your antibodies up. But the whole point is, man, we can never go back and say, look, we're not saying these vaccines have microchips in them and the government can track you. I mean, I don't think that for one second. I mean, I'm not out there at all. But the fact that Webster's Dictionary has reformatted the way that anti-vaxxer is defined is bonkers, man. I mean, you have to look it up. I'm kind of paraphrasing, but in so many words, they define it as a parent who doesn't agree with getting their child under 10 years old vaccinated. Like it's like this virtue signal and shame in a fucking dictionary about what an anti-vaxxer is.
Even if you just – it says oppose vaccine mandates.
Exactly. Oppose vaccine mandates. Like that's not anti-vax. That's anti-mandate, motherfucker. So – but I'm going back to the vaccines. What it tells us is it's not as effective as we thought. So let's stop pretending that it is and let's stop pushing this on everybody. Let's stop requiring people to get it or they're going to lose their job. It's like – it's strange to me. It's like, this is such a stupid analogy, but it just popped in my head. It's like that movie Tin Cup where he's out there just trying to prove a point and he's just chasing a point Like, he could have won the fucking Masters, and he's out there hitting the ball over and over and over and over again, over the water, trying to get it in to just prove a point. And he eventually does, but it means nothing because he lost.
Yeah.
It was just about proving the narrative that he could do it. And it just seems so backwards that we're just pushing, 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 only to say, let's get boosters, let's do this. Now there's I want to say like some kind of probiotic that's coming out as well. And needless to say, you start seeing certain people pull out of stocks from Pfizer, Moderna, J&J, and certain people are putting money back in because they know where the money's going. They know that what's not working. It just doesn't seem like – it seemed like in the beginning we were trying to do what we could to bring something in to maybe in Fauci's mind, maybe in a lot of people's minds, eradicate it, right? Much like we did with other true vaccines, not synthetic proteins. But now there's so many spikes and people's bodies are spiking that there's more deaths being reported. There's just a lot we don't know. And I just don't understand like this constant just cramming it down people's throats, man. I saw this meme and I'll let you go on this because I know you got something to say. But it's kind of funny going back to masks too. It says imagine that there was a 99.97% chance that you won't shit your pants, but you're forced to wear diapers just in case. And it was like, now just imagine to wear these diapers to protect your neighbor from shitting his pants. It's the same argument. I helped Lauren. She moved yesterday to an apartment in Charlotte. And we were catching up on some things afterwards. And we got into like a whole discussion about masks and vaccines and everything. And I was like, it's just so unnerving that a lot of people are like, well, you should get vaccinated because it's the right thing to do. And that's what she said. She's like, well, Dad, it is. I'm like, what? It's not necessarily the right thing to do. The weakest argument and from people that drive me absolute bananas is, you know, my grandmother died because you weren't vaccinated. Well, was she vaccinated? Yeah. Well, it wasn't because of me, pal. And I'm not saying me directly. I'm just saying you get it. Like you hear that comment or like protect the elderly. It's just like the vaccine. If the narrative is get the vaccine. The vaccine is, you know, the best thing since sliced bread. Right. And people are dying from it. It just doesn't make sense to me why you're worried about me as long as you have it.
Yeah, I think we've conflated the idea of a vaccine with antibodies, right? So if the whole idea is for people to be protected against the virus is to have antibodies. So if you're vulnerable, you get the vaccine because that'll give you antibodies. So when you interact with the virus in the wild, your body's prepared to fight it off so you don't get super sick and die, right? Those same antibodies, actually better antibodies, are built by people who are not at risk and interact with the disease in the wild, right? So it's been shown that, like you said, the antibodies that are produced by the vaccine wane over like a 6-month period, right? So, and they're different for each one. I think Pfizer goes down almost to 50%.
Yeah.
Moderna's in the 60-70s because they have the highest concentration. Right. I think Johnson & Johnson goes down almost to 3% over this period of time. So it shows you that the antibodies, which is the reason you get vaccinated, go down pretty fast, right? Where you look at the antibodies when you get the coronavirus are much more robust, right? I think 6 to 13 times stronger than antibodies produced by the vaccine. And they potentially will stay around a lot longer. Right.
Right.
So if the whole idea is to get rid of the coronavirus, which means that most people have to have these antibodies so the virus can't keep living, right? Or at least make it harder for it, we should be focusing on that. Right. So but we're not. So we're making vaccine mandates that say you have to have 2 shots of either Moderna or Pfizer or 1 shot of Johnson & Johnson. And that constitutes you as being fully vaccinated. So it gives you the freedoms to work or whatever in different situations. If you're not quote unquote vaccinated, then you can't do these things, even though you might have far more robust antibodies than the vaccinated people. So it's not necessarily about keeping people out of work and public spaces that are a threat to you. It's about keeping people out of public spaces who haven't been vaccinated, right?
Right.
They might have far more. If somebody – like I had coronavirus, what, a month ago, 2 months ago maybe? So chances are my antibodies are much higher than somebody who got vaccinated when a vaccine first came out. But they would still be considered fully vaccinated and could go to work at a mandated place and I would have to be let go.
That's what I'm saying. And you can even serve somebody your antibodies test.
Yeah.
And if you have any, how strong they are, but that doesn't qualify.
Right.
And
so, but then it wasn't happening. I think in Israel now, you could have had two shots of Moderna. Or what, I think they used the same one.
Now it's three. They're saying
now you have
three
to have
now.
A third shot where you're not fully vaccinated.
Fully vaxxed, yep.
Right? And I think in now in some hospitals, if it's been 6 months since your vaccination, they'll classify you as unvaccinated if you die or something like that.
Yeah, and also they're with the kids and everything they're trying to push with these boosters, not just for kids but for everyone, but specifically kids. You know, there have been, I want to say it's 5,000 cases or 5,000 deaths across the country. And we say, man, 5,000, that's a lot.
No, you can say under 500.
It's under 500. Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, it's like 400. Yeah,
under 500.
Yeah.
And we say, well, that's 500 too many. But then when you actually look at out of those 500 that actually died from COVID, it's such a low percentage, just like less than 15% of that 500. So a lot of it is leukemia, cancer, other things that someone had came down with and passed away but tested positive for COVID, and therefore they coded it to COVID. They don't really tell you the whole truth about it, which is the most frustrating part to me. I don't – you know who Alex Berenson is? He's a journalist. He wrote that book, Pandemia.
Yeah. He was on Rogan recently, right?
Yeah, yeah. I haven't listened to that whole thing, but I'd like to finish it. But it was a pretty good one. But he was on Twitter and was pretty much just saying the facts that you can go and find if you do the research, and not – his personal opinion, right? Not anything to do with dark web or whatever you want to call it, right? It's just facts. And eventually Twitter just completely suspended him because he started to gain followers and he started to gain momentum and started to gain a little bit of a message to the people just saying, look, he's saying, I'm not anti-vax. He's just like, I'm trying to get all the data out there objectively for people to look at. And Twitter basically just censorship. Yeah. Comes in and they just, that's what I don't understand. And I never have. And I guess I never will because it's never going to change. Nothing will ever change, man. I mean, it was like even with Joe Rogan, who's obviously got, you know, a pretty good following and has a pedestal and goes on. He had the one doctor on because CNN was blatantly just lying
Sanjay
about
Gupta,
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just about the ivermectin, horse dewormer, and all this shit. And he's like, man, I can afford people medicine, motherfuckers. You know, it's just like, it's so crazy. So, it just seems to me that when you're putting something in and it has roughly about a, like you said, 6 months, but they're even showing that depending on which one you get, specifically J&J, that roughly about 2.5 to 3 months into it, your antibodies have all but depleted.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying go out there and lick somebody, you know, door handle who had COVID just to get it and build up antibodies. That could be dangerous too, but let's just stop pretending. Like, where does it end? Where does it end? At first it was the vaccine's going to cure. Then it was like, well, no, it's just going to keep you from getting sick and spreading it. Well, no, that didn't happen. It's going to keep you from getting deathly ill. Well, not people are dying. So what's next?
Yeah.
I mean, well, what's next? Like, why can't they just say, look, it might do some good. It's proven to do some good. But when we start to see these spikes, right, here's the issue. And this is why it bothers the shit out of me. And people don't want to think. It fucking drives me nuts. Is with these boosters, it's because the people that have been vaccinated, their antibodies are starting to deplete. So let's boost them back up. Well, it's just going to keep happening. It's just a volatile cycle. It's not solving anything. It's just solving the argument against the narrative that that's the thing to do. I don't know what the answer is, but it sure as fuck ain't that.
Yeah. And I think if we got away from the whole idea of mandates, it would be fine, right? It would be like, okay, we see that these therapeutics, these vaccines, they last for, you know, they give you good protection for 3 to 6 months, and then it wanes a little bit. So if you still feel like you're at risk or you are at risk, you might want to get a booster shot, right? I think it's when you start tying that idea with a mandate is where you go wrong, because so now if you don't get the booster shot on your vaccine, are you going to be fully vaccinated? So can you still work in New York? Or are you going to have to provide this proof to your employer every 6 months that you've been got your booster? So, you know, it just seems weird. Because it's not based around the antibodies in your actual body. And we know that the antibodies are more robust in someone who got COVID for many reasons, but mostly because we've interacted with the complete virus, right? We've not just – when you get the RNA, you know, it programs your body to build that one spike protein. So your body's only coming into contact with one part of the virus, and it's built immunity or antibodies against that part. Where if you actually contract the virus, you build sort of a defense mechanism against the whole virus because you've came in contact with the virus. So you're going to have a better, more robust defense system against it. But that doesn't matter. You know, I could have the antibodies 10 times stronger than somebody who's been fully vaccinated, but can still be excluded depending on where you work.
Exactly.
Depending on where you live, from work, movie theaters, restaurants.
No one cares about the antibodies test. No one. No one.
No. Yeah.
And that's the craziest thing, because you go back to the argument, and this is an easy one for me. Well, man, you know, why are you against? I said, I'm not against vaccines. I'm just against this. Stop calling it that. It's a synthetic protein, period. So when you look at measles, polio, all those things we talked about, tetanus that we got, whatever, shots for and whatnot, is there's an actual, you know, basically an amount of.
Virus. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a dead virus. But yeah. What it does is when it comes into your system, its alarms go off. It's like, oh, something ain't right. So we had to build natural antibodies to void this out, right? Well, when you're putting these synthetic proteins in you, in this case, the vaccine, and you're spiking these proteins, it's your body's reacting, but it's not in the same way, which makes them pretty much irrelevant after 6 months, give or take, in some cases sooner. But some studies are coming out. They haven't found this in humans, to be clear, but they're testing as they should. That let me say this before I go there. Man, I know like ivermectin and all these drugs get talked about as of late, specifically with Rogan and some other people, right? But it's not to say ivermectin is the end-all be-all. I don't think anyone thinks that. But why do we not test it? Why do we not clinically test ivermectin, remdesivir, the fucking vaccine? Why do we not do that? Let's go with what's best. I think
they started a couple pretty big trials on ivermectin. But you can see it in that state in India where they
gave everybody
like they didn't give them only
ivermectin, like a kit.
They gave them a kit of like
a kit.
Of like, you know, these therapeutics are going to help you. And basically in a city of millions and millions of people, a state rather, of tens of millions of people, pretty much got rid of it.
Exactly. So it's just like, there's nothing wrong with being able to say, hey, look, the vaccine, it might be okay. We're still working on a better one until we can come up with that. Here's your kit. This is the best thing to take for the American people, for the nation, for the world. I don't understand why. Hopefully in the next 5 years we can do that. But going back to what I was going to say too, in some of the lab rats they're testing, they're given the vaccine, and some they're not, obviously, and they're just doing different tests as far as that is concerned on lab rats. And a lot of those lab rats are having miscarriages when they're trying to have babies. No one has been reporting that in humans, to be clear. And obviously the DNA makeup and the genetics of humans versus rats versus whatever, it's all different, right? All humans are different in certain ways. And that's why I think there should be options. And if the vaccine eventually gets to a point where it can be like the polio vaccine or the measles vaccine, to where maybe it doesn't completely eradicate it, because those even had a couple breakthrough cases, but those were very, very rare. Very, very rare. So if we can get to that point, then that might be the best option. But we should have options, plural. We always should.
Yeah. Well, I think also these more traditional vaccines that we get when we're coming up from being a baby to middle school, they're given under the assumption that you're going to build this protection before you encounter this virus or this disease, right? You're not given the polio vaccine in the midst of a polio outbreak.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you build this, you know, and so there's been these sort of discussions or studies that sort of show that even the idea of vaccinating against these specific spike proteins during the pandemic is going to sort of force the virus to sort of mutate, to stay alive faster, right? Because you're not giving it with the anticipation that I'm going to build up this robust immunity before I get the coronavirus. I'm getting vaccinated while I'm in this environment. So the virus is sort of having to act faster and more dangerously and sort of, you know, we have already seen what, 2, 3, 4, 5, who knows how many variants, and that could be so caused many. Sort of by the
vaccine, right? Because of all the protein spikes.
It's forcing the virus to have to move so it could propagate more.
It's got to propagate more, so it's creating more variants, and the more boosters that are going to come out there, the more variants you're going to create. But it's interesting.
It just seems weird too, because it starts coming down to people's livelihoods or their social standing or the way they're viewed. Like, I heard something interesting that really kind of made sense to me, is that obviously everything's polarized and politicized, but if you just speak in generalizations, that the left is more pro-vaccine mandate, pro-mask mandate, the feeling over there that you give people is that they're much more concerned about catching the virus than they are having the virus, right? Because there's like this sort of social sort of pejorative that when you catch the virus, you've done something wrong, right?
You're like a leper.
You weren't responsible. You didn't do the right thing, right? Oh, right. You got the virus. Oh, you weren't
dirty.
You could have killed somebody else. Oh, you're fine, but maybe you killed. Like, there's this sort of view that society takes to people where it's worse to catch it than to actually have it because of the implications of, oh.
Yeah, and you get exempt from criticism if you had the vaccine and catch it. It's like, well, I mean, I couldn't help it. I got the vaccine. I did the right thing. Anyway, fucking annoying, man. So have you seen that the governor that took over in New York?
Oh, yeah. The Jesus vaccine.
Jesus, man, yeah. Kathy Hochul, I believe is her name. Yeah, she was talking about, you guys are my apostles.
Yeah.
You got to go out and do the Lord's work. I'm just like, man, like, fucking Cuomo, was so bad he turned out to be a dirtbag.
Yeah.
That you got to throw her in. Mm-hmm. Like, she didn't win shit, but it's just like, man, what a mess. Like, what a mess. You go from Cuomo to this chick who's out there, like, just virtually signaling from the highest power of the Lord.
Yeah, anytime you're sort of moralizing your decisions, like, it's really weird. It's like, some people aren't doing the right thing, so I need you, the smart people, to go out there and be my apostles and religiously
do the Lord's work.
Yeah. Yeah.
So weird, man. I don't get it anymore. I give up.
Yeah. No, I truly am thankful that I haven't had any sort of, at least living in Florida, there hasn't been any sort of mandates, right? Because it's going to affect these places negatively, right? If you start mandating that your police departments or your fire departments or your nurses,
military, or
your school teachers, all these things, you know, it's going to create a shortage, you know, and that's already on top. I think what, 4.3 million people quit their jobs last month. So it's going to add more. We have supply chain issues already. It's going to exacerbate that. When you start minimizing your, you know, police forces and these things that people depend on, I don't know how you think that's not going to have negative effects on things.
I'm saying, like, when do we stop and say, all right.
Yeah.
Like play your little game and say the vaccine is the best way and the most effective treatment right now. Whatever, man. I mean, whatever. But just allow people to decide for themselves because you're chasing this rabbit down a hole so fucking far, you're going to drive this country into the ground more so than it already has.
Yeah.
Based off of what someone thinks or thought, past tense, not even thinks, what someone thought was going to do to eradicate everything to do with COVID. And that's not the case.
Even allow companies to decide. If you want to allow that, fine. You know, if some trucking company wants to make their drivers get vaccinated and they lose all their drivers, they're going to go somewhere else, right? But
if you're not going to be able to go anywhere else.
Right. Pinning people down, you know.
Yeah, it's frustrating. Because we have a hard enough time hiring now as it is.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in the blue-collar workforce. And I don't know. It's going to be interesting if that happens. The supply chain, like you said, we still – on a personal note, we still haven't gotten her that car that we ordered, dude, 3 months ago.
Wow.
They called me last Friday and was like, hey, it's in Arlington, Texas. It's being picked up. So we had to move pretty quick for her car because we wanted to keep the mileage down below a certain amount, so like 70,000 miles. So we actually sold it last week. And it's nuts.
Before you even got it?
Yeah, well, we had to because, like, I mean, I say we had to, but I would have lost a couple $1,000s on the deal.
Yeah.
Which is nuts. We made $10,000 off a vehicle that was leased. Crazy.
Wow.
Crazy because there's no supply chain.
Wow.
And I don't get how all these car commercials are still going on every day promoting new cars that are coming out. 2020, it's like you can't even get anything right now. How in the world are you going to be able to do this?
That's weird. Yeah.
It's so strange. But so the guy called me back on Friday and was like, hey, it's expected to arrive November 12th, which whatever. I mean, it's not the end of the world, first world problems, but it does create some inconvenience.
Yeah.
But it's not even about inconvenience or anything like that. It's just about just how crazy everything is right now. It's just wild, man. It's just wild. And then we had our company had a meeting last week and, you know, we had to meet about a couple things regarding pricing. And for example, spray foam insulation, a lot of the stuff, the resins and everything that's included in that, they're going up and in price. I mean, we've got almost a 75% increase in materials since January to date.
Wow.
And you start to see some things come down, like lumber is the shell of the home, obviously. A builder has to have that. See, that's the thing. Spray foam is a luxury. It's great. It has a lot of benefits. But at the end of the day, you're still going to see that on a higher end home, say, you know, 800,000 plus. people that are going to build $1 million homes, like they can afford it. Like another 10 grand's really not going to, like, just do it. Yeah. Man. We'll make that money back later. But generally speaking, a lot of people are going to deter from it. They're going to have to do what are the essentials in the building industry, the shell of the house. Like I said, they got to have framing.
Right.
You don't have to have foam, but it's just interesting to see these costs go up. And not only is the cost going up, it's just, you can't even get the stuff. And that's not the whole reason why the cost is going up. It's just an addition too. So now you're paying a premium for shipping. It's crazy.
Yeah. They always say like inflation's a tax on the poor because like you said, the person who can afford an $800,000 home can afford the extra cost because they have, you know, the capital to do it. But if you're looking to buy a regular car, like just to get around for like just the purpose of utility, or you're trying to buy a home just to live in because, you know, you need a home, that's who you're really getting affected because now you're having to pay 50% more than you had to pay a year ago. You know, so it's like it's a tax on people who don't have. I don't know why that's not seen as bad as you would think. Like you would think our governor here in Florida is actually like trying to get more of these ships to come to our ports because there's all these bottlenecks like in San Diego and across the country where he's like, hey, fucking bring it here. We'll unload your ships. We'll get, you know, like, but it's almost like, I don't want to say it's planned, but it's almost seen as like it's okay, like it's all right, like there's no, you know, it's working okay for some people.
What I'm saying. You know? It seems planned to me because it's and when you talk to people that know, it's like it's not so much that there's a shortage; it's just that there's lack of people to be able to take and transport the Connexes, right? And then you see this influx of Connexes that we have here that we can't get back because people offload them or unload them, but then they're stuck here. It's wild. It doesn't seem like a coincidence to me. I don't know who's benefiting from it, but somebody is. And I'll tell you, the cost of fuel, what is it right now per gallon in Florida?
Like, I think I paid $3.31 yesterday.
Yeah. It's about $3.20 here, give or take. But and we were talking about this too. We kind of have some information. I don't want to say like inside information. It could be way wrong, but it looks like fuel, at least in North Carolina, maybe in the Southeast and maybe the whole country, is going to go up to upwards of $5.50, $6 a gallon before the year's over.
Damn.
And a lot of it has to do with a lot of it has to do too with this clean energy and all this stuff that we talk about all too often. If people really understand the carbon footprint to get everybody in a Tesla equivalent, it's nuts. It's crazy what it would take to do that to the environment. But the perception is that's the way to go. You see more electric cars coming out these days, more so than ever. Tesla's stock is going up, 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 up every single day. So with that said, the perception of crude and oil is a bit archaic in the sense of it's just viewed as toxic in some ways, right? In the footprint and everything like that and what it does. So a lot of the, you know, multi-billion dollar tycoons really aren't investing that money back into it. So there's probably billions and billions of gallons of fuel that are on reserve, but you're going to pay a premium for it. And I don't know that it's, I mean, I'm not obviously a fortune teller, but that's just what we've been told from some people we trust in the industry. So think about that for a second. You can't control that. I mean, there's nothing you can do. Some people are just like, well, just everybody stay home one day. And the economic impact that would have across the country would be immense. It would be crazy, but it still wouldn't stop fuel for, if anything, they would just raise it higher to make up for that loss.
Right.
And not many people are going to do that, but the cost of living is continuing to go up, man. Mm-hmm. It's continuing to go up. The cost of goods is continuing to go up. We went to the grocery store yesterday, got like, I don't even know, man, like what seemed like, I don't know, 50 little things, fucking $200. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like, looked on like a package of something that was normally, my wife's like, that was $10. I'm like, I guess, like, I mean, that's what it says. She's like, it was $6 3 weeks ago. Same package.
Yeah. Steaks at Walmart. Everything's like $20 or more just for like a single steak. And the shelf's pretty much empty.
I'm saying it's nuts, man. So I don't think it ends anytime soon. I don't know until people start to become, I don't know, even more homeless, I suppose, or people are becoming bankrupt, or certain jobs might, I don't know, certain jobs might go away.
The government's trying to pass legislation now that will allow CDL drivers to begin at 18 years old. Used to be you had to be 21 to get a CDL. They're going to make it so you can be 18 to be a CDL.
Man, that's a little sketch right there. A little 18-year-olds driving. Yeah.
Got to get
Class A too. Wow.
Yeah. Driving.
Hey, we're... Yeah, we probably will always be a company just because we do things by the book and the right thing. But drug tests, like, it's like now it's just like you see a lot of companies. I think Amazon, don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure I saw something last week where they're not, they've done away with drug tests.
Really? Well, yeah, maybe for like their warehouse.
I mean, not like, yeah, like cocaine or heroin, but I think just THC specifically.
Yeah.
They've done away with that. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that come through our pipeline, especially blue collar. I mean, it's not to say it's okay, but it's kind of an understood thing. It's kind of like, I mean, you know, do we really want to employ this guy if he's a good worker because he tested positive? You can't just because some of the legalities around it and the liability that comes along with it, especially if they drop. But a lot of companies are starting to do away with drug tests just because they got to have people that can work, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
They got to have people that can work. So
that's interesting.
I don't know. I don't know when it stops or how it stops or where it stops. It just seems like it's just this proverbial like revolving door. I don't know.
Yeah. The more I've been thinking about it, like, the more I've been thinking about like the idea of contrasting ideas of government and like society. Like if you want to think about capitalism or socialism or communism or, you know, democracy or whatever you want to think, the more I start thinking about, I don't know, man, there's a right answer for everybody, but I feel like the more I think about it, the more it is that people just make these choices for themselves, right? Like I know I sent you that copy of Kaczynski's writing. And
yes.
You kind of see what he's talking about. It's like his anti-modernity sort of like, you know, obviously there's some violence in what he did, but like there's almost some like Taoist sort of principle of inaction and like, being content because of progress, the rate of progress greatly outpaces the rate of value added to your life, right? So
yeah,
I think what I'm trying to say is I don't necessarily care about telling anybody how to live their life or what should be right for anybody except for myself. Same. But I feel like we should be allowed to opt out of shit we don't want to participate in anymore.
Yeah, right? Unsubscribe. You know what I mean? Unsubscribe to this.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I mean, I feel like, there's going to be consequences for that, right? You're not going to be, you're not going to be a bigger part of this sort of virtual world on online. Like,
I'm fine with that.
With like the internet, like, but I feel like this world probably a pretty great place if we can eliminate some of that shit. If we can eliminate. I don't know, man. I think eliminate news, eliminate everything. Like, you know what I mean? I think to go back to what we were talking about before with like the sort of the way society is moving with gender and these ideas, it's like, because these are all placeholder ideas to what humans evolved to do. We evolved to like live in groups of 50 to 150, right? Yeah. Take care of each other. You know, you need like 500 people for a healthy gene pool. So you'd have places you intermingled with. You'd all grow your own food. You take care of each other. And this would have meaning to your life. Your life was meaningful because you had a family you loved, you cared about. But now we sort of subcontracted all that out to companies. So now all we have to do is work and then trade for that shit. We don't have to actually do anything that is meaningful. But we still have a desire for meaning in our lives. So we can start subscribing whatever we want to be meaningful. It could be religion. It can be LGBTQ. It can be Black Lives Matter. We can pick anything and assign, you know, so I want to sort of try to get away from these assigned units of meaning and go back to like what people actually, the meaning is I think, you know what I mean? But
just being a good person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, hey guys, thanks for listening. Have a good weekend. Come on everybody, let's jump in. The water's not too hot according to them. Only they know what's best for you. So pick up your phone for instructions on what to do.